It's just about 9 o'clock, straight up at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning. It's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI. Music from an outfit called Ursula 1000 with a song called Tiger Beat as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, the whole nine yards is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine, home, speaking of animals, of the Anteaters, folks. I'm Duncan Strauss, glad to be back. Was off last week to make room for our July 4th KUCI extravaganza, and happy to do so, but also very happy to be back here, and where I'll be till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you, for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and I actually urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Nobody ever, gets beat up, hurt, injured, whatever, with a phone call here at Talking Animals. So give us a jingle at any point. Some points make more sense than others, perhaps, but we're easy that way. And, of course, if you're not as inclined to give a call, or maybe you're online and there isn't even another phone line available for such a thing, well, we can accommodate you there, too. You can IM us using the fabulous AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name, perhaps unsurprisingly, is Talking Animals. So there's any number of ways to be in touch, even less immediate ways, but effective ways nonetheless, includes emailing us to talkinganimals@AOL.com, and by way of our cool website, talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. And before we move on and in, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another peppy, provocative edition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, again, talkinganimals.net, where every show through the last one we did, we weren't here again on 4th of July, but we're, of course, on June 27th. And that show is up and archived thanks to our webmaster extraordinaire. So, and anything prior to that, you can access on talkinganimals.net. And there's other stuff, too, that we'll blab about later. But looking at the website, hopefully having tuned in before, you know that the heart of the program really is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitants of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Peggy Hoyt, a Florida-based attorney with an MBA whose law firm, Hoyt & Bryant, specializes in estate planning, but more to the point, really, for our purposes here on Talking Animals. She's the author of All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet, a book providing all kinds of information and guidelines about pet estate planning, and she's really recognized as a nationally kind of heralded expert in that field. And as we've discussed a few times on the show in various ways, including Pet Trust with Amy Sheever from Pet Guardian and others as well, one of the scenarios, even the most devoted animal lover, often fails to consider what happens to your pets when you die, maybe if it's unexpectedly or younger than you're fearing or become incapacitated. Who's going to look after your pets? What sort of provisions are made? So we'll delve into these and other related issues when Peggy Hoyt joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about the animals, not only this week's animal news items, any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, if you have a animal-related event, fundraiser, benefit gala, you name it, that we should be aware of and help get the word out on, observations in the animal world, of course, any animal news stories that you might have spotted that perhaps we haven't, or just to make sure that we have, all of that would be most welcome. Again, the phone number is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. So turning now to interesting and or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, and occasionally international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. So we also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, as usual, having said that, with that preamble behind us, talk turkey, as it were. Now, before we get into, I guess it's all technically, even the part I'm going to start with, which is different for us, it's all, I guess, technically produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. But first, what I'm going to do is to talk a little bit about the Animal Rights 2005. It was a huge national conference held over the weekend at the Westin LAX that I attended. And a huge kind of gathering of all kinds of groups, some, you know, of like minds, some very different. So that was one of the elements of the show. But it's basically, it's the animal rights kind of movement's annual national conference. And it's a forum for sharing knowledge and discussing strategies and tactics and networking and You know, I guess recharging the batteries is important too. So it was a 4-day program. I went to 3 of the days. Featured about 90 presenters from more than 50 groups, organizations, etc. And really all factions of the movement were indeed represented. Some of the speakers, presenters, etc., panelists, included Lori Bowston, co-founder of the Farm Sanctuary. And of course, we had her, I guess now, ex-husband, the other co-founder of the Farm Sanctuary, on the show some time ago. So Lori's out here now, and is in the midst of creating a new sanctuary and doing other things. So we'll probably have her on the show at some point soon. Catherine Doyle, who we have had on the show, who started off kind of filing a lawsuit about Ruby, the elephant that was shipped off unceremoniously to Tennessee, and filed a suit as a citizen, and from there has become kind of a key animal, and especially elephant, kind of advocate, activist, and a lot of what you hear and read about zoos kind of contending with the issue of should we keep elephants or not is really her doing, so... that was cool. Sybil Erden from the Oasis Sanctuary, the largest sort of bird, parrot, etc. sanctuary in the country, who's also been a guest. Some people who I haven't had on the show yet, but certainly hope to. One was, I was particularly struck by this woman, Gloria Groh, who sort of has a foot in two different organizations, the New England Anti-Vivisection Society, or NEVS. But also, she has herself a sanctuary, just outside of Montreal that I didn't know anything about, and it's mostly chimps, and she was on a panel and talked about these are chimps that have largely, even if they started in entertainment, bad enough, but largely spent years and years and years in research and have been rescued in some form or another and wound up with her, and she told a story about one chimp named Gene who had been in research for 24 years. And it was hair-raising. I won't go into detail now because I'm hoping to have her on the show and maybe she can tell it. But in listening to it, I got pretty emotional. And then recounting it later that night when I got home, I I was bawling. So, I mean, if that gives you any idea. A woman named Patrice Jones, I also hadn't heard of. She runs the Eastern Shore Sanctuary. I'm not sure if that's in New Jersey. It's somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard, I believe. But one of the most impressive speakers... in any realm, frankly, that I've heard, and a real expert. So we hope to have her on the show. Michael Mountain, who, of course, we have on the show. He's one of the founders and the president of the Best Friends Animal Society. Runs their big sanctuary, the biggest sanctuary for dogs, cats, and other abandoned abuse animals in the whole nation. Crystal Parks, who I also hope to have on the show, who sort of took up the gauntlet. You might remember we had Heather Herman on the show about a year ago. This was a 15-year-old girl who got the initiative placed on the ballot to see about outlawing circuses with animals in Denver. And it didn't pass for a number of reasons. So Crystal Parks has taken up the gauntlet, including a hunger strike that she did the most recent time, or shortly after that initiative didn't pass, when Ringling Brothers came through town, and pretty amazing woman. So Adam Roberts, who we've had on the show from Born Free USA, Paul Watson, who I definitely want to get on the show, an amazing kind of legendary figure, Canadian, head of the Sea Shepherd Foundation, and for years his sort of pet cause has been fighting seal hunting, but he does a number of things in the waters really across the globe, and an amazing speaker, totally charismatic, hilarious, wonderful guy. So anyway, that's just a quick thing. I mean, there were some really great, maybe I should hit a few of the panels or seminars briefly. I mean, just some of their topics to give you a range of idea. Of course, not surprisingly, one was abuse of animals in laboratories, coping with oppressive laws was another, waging effective campaigns. I mean, some of these could be good no matter what kind of activism you were interested in, if you weren't specifically interested in animal activism, because a lot of it was about organizing and media and legislative change, etc. Indeed, here's one, enacting protective laws, enforcing protective laws, engaging youth, effective investigations, animal spirituality, commonality of oppression. Unfortunately, there was something else that I needed to be at, so I couldn't go to that. But commonalities of oppression, of oppressing animals, children, women, others, seemed like a really amazing, cool panel. And other others throughout the weekend. So anyway, very well done, very informative. Again, saw and listened to and met some really amazing people. So those that haven't already been on the show, we will bring to you in the coming weeks and months here on Talking Animals. So on to our regularly scheduled news programming. And again, we're not going to get to anywhere near all of it today because A, I talked about this conference, but time well spent, and B, not having been on last week, there's tons of news to get to. But one thing I couldn't really pass up was this thing that ran about a week and a half ago. I'll just read a bit of it. I took this from the LA Times, but it was covered pretty much everywhere, at least locally, if not beyond. An animal rights group wants the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach to gut its cafeteria menu of fish and seafood, arguing that, quote, serving fish in an aquarium is like serving poodle burgers at a dog show, end quote. Like Lilo in the animated Lilo and Stitch, who refused to make a tuna sandwich for a friend, Pudge, a fish, because it would be, quote, an abomination. The head of the Fish Empathy Project for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, of course, PETA, said serving fish in an aquarium just isn't right. An institution with a mission that includes teaching people to respect and appreciate marine animals certainly shouldn't serve fish in its cafeteria, Karen Robertson wrote last week in a letter to Jerry Schauble, the aquarium's chairman and chief executive. Robertson, who runs a website called FishingHurts.com, said recent studies have showed that fish are, quote, intelligent, sensitive, and interesting animals. Fish are far more intelligent than previously thought, and in some respects, their cognitive abilities surpass those of dogs and some non-human primates, she wrote to Schauble. The treatment of fish, both commercially caught fish and fish from fish farms, would warrant cruelty to animals. Charges in your state if the animals we are now more familiar with, like cats and dogs, were in the same boat. And it goes on from there. And of course, the aquarium responded that these were kind of renewable resources. I'm not sure if that's the exact term they used. I don't have that part in front of me. But anyway, interesting battle. We'll track that one. Something tells me Aquarium ain't going to change their offerings in the near future, but one can only watch with great curiosity, at the very least. Right? Now, a few things from the OCPA, which is Orange County People for Animals, including one thing that I thought was really cool that, again, I didn't get to previously because we were on last week, but in a way it was interesting because over the weekend I ran into one of the key people from the OCPA, and he kind of told me a little different story, but they were hoping to table at the Orange County Fair, which has opened up on the weekend. I think Friday was the first day, because every year they have elephant rides at the Orange County Fair, and this group, Have Trunk Will Travel, provides elephant rides, and you know, to me at least, it's so depressing, because the first thing you see when you walk in to the entrance, I think maybe there's more than one entrance, but at least the main entrance, as far as I know, is the elephant ride. So they were all set to table there and try to inform people why that's kind of not cool for the elephants, and just being on the hot pavement, and just all the problems that elephants like that have with their feet, whether they're in, you know, zoos, or much less doing elephant rides. And so apparently they had gotten the fair to allow them to do that, and even, you know, for volunteers who were going to help the table and distribute this information, they were going to get free admission and parking and stuff. Well, come to find out that at the last minute, the fair people changed their mind. So they're not able to set up there. Of course, they can buy tickets like anyone else, and they can, I guess, wear T-shirts. I don't think you can even, technically, on those grounds, hand out literature unless you're asked for it. So, interesting little change of heart. On a sort of related note, at least if you care about elephants, as I certainly do, and many who care about animals generally do, just as a heads up, the Ringling Brothers folks are coming back through town, speaking of them earlier, as we were. So there's going to be a circus, Ringling Brothers Circus demonstration on July 27th, which I believe is the opening night, and that's going to be at the pond. So you can find out more by emailing information at ocpausa.org. That's their website. It's the Orange County People for Animals. So their acronym is OCPA, but their website is ocpausa.org. So find out more about the elephant rides, the circus demonstration, and more. And this is, again, there's more stuff we just aren't going to get to here. Quickly, let me skip to our quiz, because we always like to get to our quiz, and we have kind of a cool prize to work into today's rotation beyond the usual cool prizes. So that's a good thing, right? Okay, so the way that the quiz works is, at least again today, it's a true-false question, and and if you're the first person to answer correctly, you have your choice of number of prizes, including today we can offer you tickets, a pair of tickets to Boz Skaggs at the Grove on the 13th. That's Wednesday night, the Grove of Anaheim. Boz Skaggs, what, Lido Shuffle and a number of other hits, and he's back. I think he even had a new record out in the last year or two. Could be wrong about that. But what I do know is we have a pair of free tickets if you're the first person to correctly answer this. With other prizes, maybe you can't go Wednesday night, whatever. We've got a DVD from Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. We've got books from guests or future guests, including Meatless Meals for Working People. Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Leash. She hasn't been a guest yet, but hopefully at some point she will be. But more to the point, the book is co-written by her dog. What else? We've got CDs, including a PETA CD, kind of a compilation of various bands. And we've got Talking Animal stuff. We've got Talking Animal t-shirts, Talking Animal sweatshirts, Talking Animal coffee mugs, cat toys, dog collars, etc. Okay, so keep that in mind, because later, in addition to offering those now, if you happen to win the Animal News quiz, you could... also, have your choice of the same prizes that you towards the end of the show when we play Name That Animal Team. Okay, once again, thoroughly over-explained, but what the heck. Okay, true or false, and if you know the answer, 949-824-5824. True or false, fish do not have eyelids and cannot blink. True or false, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and, boy, we really didn't get to a lot of stuff today, but I'm going to just quickly hit one thing just because it's not depressing, the way many of our stories sadly are. Hey, looks like we got somebody calling in. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. Hello? Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI? Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI? Wow, alright, well, this isn't working. I hope it's working when we get a guest on the phone, or that'll be unpleasant. Because there is somebody calling, but we can't seem to... Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI? Alright, well, what are you going to do? Okay, so anyway, in fact, now I'm going to skip that story even, because we're even more out of time. And we do want to quickly get into our... step into the comedy corner for something a little different, and then welcome our guest, Peggy White. So, let's do that. So, anyway, if there are ever any news stories, and again, next week we'll get through far more than we did today, that you'd like to bring to our attention, email us those items. Let's try it one more time. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI.
Hi, it's Paul.
Hi.
Hi.
Did you have a guess on the quiz question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's false, right?
No. You know what? You had a 50-50 chance, sadly. But, yeah, no, it actually is true. Let me find my little thing. Yeah, fish do not have eyelids and cannot blink, and that's actually true.
Okay, I believe that they had like a layer of skin over their eye that protects it.
Well, you know what? Just because I like the case that you're making, and we're about to have a lawyer on the show, I'll tell you what. If did you have in mind the Boz Skaggs tickets or another prize?
The Triumph DVD.
Okay, cool. Then I'll tell you what, just because now we really are running late, if you wouldn't mind emailing me, what's your name again?
Ralph.
Ralph?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph, and we will figure out a way, in case there's more than one Ralph that emails in, we'll figure out who's who. But if you can email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com with your information and address, et cetera, then I will get you that Triumph DVD, which is, of course, hilarious and wonderful. And because I think, you know, maybe you can make a case that it was false. We're flexible here at Talking Animals. So thanks for listening. Thanks for playing the game, and congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
Cool. Bye-bye. Okay, so anyway, yeah, email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and if you have any news items, anything else that you think we should be aware of, and again, please visit the website, talkinganimals.net, but now we are desperately late, so let's step into the comedy corner quickly, and as always, that involves animal-oriented comedy. Today I thought we'd do something a little different by way of sort of musical comedy. This is Cindy Benson with a tune called Pets on today's Comedy Corner. Here on KUCI.
Some folks collect paintings, some folks collect stamps, some are masters of Anthony Cassers and others Victorian lamps. Some folks collect horses, others Reno divorces. But I, little me, well, I just can't wait till you see my pets. I collect pets. I collect everything from mice to marmosets. I've a whirling mouse called Jumbo and a cockatoo from Columbo who tells them I've a dinner jacketed penguin who gives me lessons in poise, and a very sexy old peacock who makes such an interesting noise. But the pride of my collection is my bevy of Hollywood boys, and like a child I'm simply wild about my pets. Hundreds of pets. Kennel for the vet. I've a genuine chinchilla and a rather geeky gorilla who wears many days and plays minuet. I've a Persian kitten from Newport who only cares for whipped cream, and a pair of riotous rabbits. The way they behave is scream, and as soon as I've more cages, I will manage a football team. And like a child, I'm gonna be wild about my pets. I'm a girl who pets all of her pets. You should see my crocodile. What a croc! I've an acrobatic monkey and a highly endowed young donkey who's done three films, and he's as good as a jet. I've an awful quirky canary who thinks aloud that I'm deaf, and an awfully fussy French poodle. Thank heavens I've got a French chef. And I've covered all the bars in the valley, and believe me,
all right, that was Cindy Benson in the Comedy Corner today. And Comedy Corner, of course, is one of the signature features of Talking Animals. And that was, actually, by the way, I should mention that it was taken from her album, Out on a Whim. Again, the tune is called Pets. Very appropriate for today. A little different for today's Comedy Corner. And I am Duncan Strauss. You are indeed listening to Talking Animals. And KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you, perhaps a subset, arrive through our show website, talkinganimals.net. talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that our guest today is Peggy Hoyt, a Florida-based attorney with an MBA whose law firm Hoyt & Bryan specializes in estate planning. More to the point, for our purposes here on Talking Animals, she's the author of All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pets, a book providing all kinds of information and guidelines about pet estate planning, and sort of a nationally recognized expert in that field. And as we've discussed a few times on the show here, one of the scenarios that the most devoted animal lover often fails to consider, what happens to your pet when you die or become incapacitated? So there's lots to talk about as we will delve into momentarily here, and we welcome Peggy Hoyt to Talking Animals. Are you there, Peggy?
Yes, I am. Hi, Duncan.
Hi, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
It's my pleasure.
Cool. Well, your career, and certainly the book, appears to be kind of the quintessential, I guess, dovetailing of your longtime personal passion for animals and the professional path that you've carved out, and might be useful to briefly trace kind of both arcs before we kind of delve into where and how they've most notably intersected. So maybe let's start a little bit at the beginning, briefly, and just where did you grow up, and was animals a big part of your childhood, and we'll proceed from there.
Okie doke. Well, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area primarily, and was lucky enough at that time to live on about 9 acres where I was able to get my first horse.
Oh, wow.
And I loved horses, I think, since before I was born. And I was less than one, I think, when I started asking for my own horse.
Wow.
So that became a dream, and I always have had horses and dogs and cats since then. And, of course, my dad was the president of the Humane Society of the United States.
Yeah, John Hoyt, who we had on the show two Mondays ago. We had a great conversation with him as well. Yeah.
So I had a terrific opportunity to be around lots of people that loved animals and that helped kind of shape my passion for wanting to do something for them later on in my career.
And, you know, it sounds like, you know, as you say, not only as a young girl, but perhaps almost prenatally, you were crazy for horses. And, you know, a large percentage of girls in particular seems like feel that way. But then they kind of lose that, you know, that passion, or at least, you know, it gives way to other interests as they get older, and there's, you know, boys and car, you know, other things. But your interest really didn't seem to wane, and in fact, it's, you know, I guess arguably at least maintained and maybe increased over the years. I mean,
that is true. I think I took a little time off in my teenage years when I sold my horse to buy my first car.
Right.
But I got back to it as quickly as I could, and now I'm in the habit of trying to rescue horses that need to be rescued, and I have 2 wild Mustangs.
Cool.
And I also have a Premarin rescue who came off of a Premarin farm out of Canada.
Wow. And I want to, as time permits, I want to get into that stuff as well. But just to kind of keep more on our little timeline briefly for one more sec here. So once you kind of took a little time out to buy a car, whatever. But were you able to sort of maintain your love, if not relationship, with animals and even riding regimen as you moved into your college years and law school? Was that still kind of very much part of your life, even as you were deep in the throes of serious schooling?
Absolutely. Now, my only challenge then was to find friends who had horses so that I could ride their horses and I didn't have to have the expense, and I successfully did that for a number of years.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's fast forward a bit then. So now you're a lawyer with an MBA. At what point in that schooling did you know that your professional life would in some way reflect this lifelong love of animals? Was it kind of always part of the plan, an outright objective, or was it more incidental, like, hey, you know, I'm going into estate planning, as it turns out, as a bonus? Practicing this area will also enable me to, you know, look after animals and the people who live with them. I mean, was it by design, or was it kind of a cool synchronicity?
Yeah, I would love to say it was by design, but it was more synchronistic, as you suggest, that that happened. I really was looking for a topic that I could write on, something that meant a lot to me and something that I had some experience with, and it just really dawned on me one day that, looking around my house, that all my children did wear fur coats. And if I was advising families on how to plan for their loved ones and the people that they care about and the things that they care about, well, there right in front of me was a whole collection of, you know, beautiful brown eyes looking up at me. And it just absolutely slammed me in the face to say, if I don't plan for these pets, who's going to take care of them if something happens to me? And that just really started the snowball rolling.
Wow. All right, let me just quickly tell our listeners, this is Talking Animals on KUCI, and we're speaking with Peggy Hoyt, a Florida-based attorney who specializes in estate planning and author of All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet. If you'd like to join the conversation, you have a question for Peggy, please join us at 949-824-5824. Okay, Peggy, well then let's, I think that's perfect point of preamble. Let's really get into this. What is the biggest either misconception or most significant fact people fail to understand in the realm of pet estate planning? Is the fact that they don't do pet estate planning, or is there something even larger?
Well, I think that is a key factor, Duncan, but I also think probably one of the biggest misconceptions that people have is that they falsely believe that their family is going to take care of their pets
right.
if something happens
there's
to them.
There's that kind of just inherent assumption, right?
Yep. They think, well, they love me, so they'll love my pet, and sadly, the reality is not true.
Yeah.
You know, you end up with somebody else's pet. It's not your kid. It's an old pet. It's stinky. It's smelly. It pees on the floor. Those kinds of things. And pretty soon, you know, your family member who loved you so much isn't real crazy about taking care of your pet, and off the pet goes down to the local shelter, or even worse, in some cases, just let out the back door.
Right, and even the shelter scenario, I mean, can be nice and cool, but it also, of course, can also have its other sort of dark ending there. So another reason to not leave that to chance.
And I think the estimate today is about 500,000 pets are euthanized annually, either due to the disability or death of their owners.
Yeah.
People that just didn't take the steps necessary to make more than sure that those pets were going to be planned for.
And let me ask you this, Peggy, because this just to take, a step backward or laterally from what we're talking about at this moment, but at what age do you think people should have a will? You know, it's so weird. I just got word this morning. I mean, when I'm not doing this, I'm kind of in the comedy world or the comedy club world, and I just heard that a comedian who couldn't be more than in his mid-30s had died. I don't even know exactly what the circumstances are. And another guy just last week, where I get a sandwich once a week, maybe mid-30s at the most, had an aneurysm, gone. And I'm going to think that in both cases, I know in one case, I'm assuming the other, that they probably felt like, hey, I'm too young to think about even having a will.
Absolutely. And if you think about the way people talk, they say, when I win the lottery and if I die.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this preconceived notion that unless we're really old, that we're probably not going to die anytime soon.
Yeah.
And that's probably true for most people. But in our business, what we have to do is plan for the worst
mm-hmm.
and hope for the best.
Sure.
And so I really recommend to folks, even in their 20s, that they start thinking about estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have a lot of assets that they're concerned about at that point, but one of the bigger issues becomes the disability issue.
Yeah.
What happens if they become mentally disabled during their young 20s, 30s,
mm-hmm.
40s, and they haven't properly designated those folks that they want to make decisions for them?
Right, because the other thing, even if someone has the, you know, especially at that age, has the foresight to think about a will, one of the many things that you kind of point out in the book is that, you know, a will is great and important to have, but it may or may not address what happens if you're struck down by some sort of disability, let's say, but not, you know, thankfully at least you don't die, but then again your pets are like sort of uncared for in that sense, or unprovided for.
Absolutely. And I think really from a national perspective, Terry Schiavo, who actually was a Florida resident but
sure.
who came to the national attention in the news, she really kind of underscored, I think, for a lot of young people how important it is to have disability instructions and end-of-life decision-making instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the personal side of it. The pet side of it is, you know, if she had a household full of pets, what happened to those pets?
Yeah.
You know, and the presumption, again, is that her husband would take care of them, but ultimately she and her husband were divorced
right.
during that time period. And so you don't know whether or not that continuing obligation to care for those pets was continued.
Sure, sure. Well, let's also let people know, too, that, and we will a few times along the way, that there's a great website that you have that sort of ties into the book, but ties in a lot of this information as well. It's Legacy for Your Pet. www.thebookofmysteries.com. And again, the book is really it's great. It really offers extensive info and sort of detailed guidelines, some of which kind of fall outside even the realm of what we're talking about, which is to me just fabulous and kind of an added bonus. But it really, of course, the focus is how to ensure that your pets are well cared for once you die, or again, if you're incapacitated. So, you know, I wish we had time to go through sort of blow by blow or page by page or chapter by chapter. We probably don't, of course, but maybe you could sort of distill down for us either the most significant points and or at least the key initial steps so that people could start down the path. And then again, get the book, look at the website, get you know, legal assistance to take them further down that path. But what do you think are sort of step one, two, or three, let's say?
Well, I think one of the most important things that anybody can do is they can have good instructions about how to care for their pets in a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
So for each one of my animals, I have a notebook with a divider so that there's information about the pet, a picture of the pet, any information related to their breeding or their health. And it's just something that I keep it on a shelf in my house. So at a minimum, anything happened to me, there would be some instructions.
Sure.
I carry a wallet card that lets people know that if something happens to me, that there's pets at my house that need to be cared for. I also have a sticker inside my back door that lets fire or emergency personnel know that there are animals in my house that need to be cared for in the event of an emergency, and some emergency contact information, my veterinary contact information, as well as a close friend and neighbor who might be able to take my pets at least on a short-term basis. Those things are very simple to do, very inexpensive to do. The Humane Society of the United States offers free stickers and cards for people to utilize for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you can also get those at petguardian.com. And so that's the really the easiest thing that people can do, having some sort of an emergency plan in place for your pets if you don't come home. And let's say it's not disability or death. Let's just say it's a September 11th event.
Right.
So there's some other type of emergency. I live in Florida. We had a hurricane here over the weekend.
Yeah.
What happens if you have to leave your home and you have to leave your pets behind?
Sure.
Some sort of instructions for the care of your animals in your absence.
And it's so important because, I mean, again, as we touched on a bit a few moments ago, I mean, people don't think in those terms, especially if they're young and healthy and vital. But, you know, again, sadly, September 11th, in a hurricane, I mean, you know, somebody blows a red light at your intersection and, you know, smacks into you in an awful way. I mean, there's so many ways that even if you feel like, you know, I'm in good shape, I'll get to a trust, a will, something, you know, a few years from now when I'm really, you know, older, as you say, or need to. I mean, it's just leaving so much to chance, and things do happen.
Absolutely, and that's the scariest part about it. So really, that's the basics. That's where I would start.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would address my own personal estate planning needs, and in the process of addressing those needs, have a conversation with your legal provider about what your state allows for the care of your pets. Last chance I looked, California had not adopted a full-blown pet trust statute like Florida has.
Mm-hmm.
Florida has authorized the creation of a trust for the benefit of your pets for the balance of that pet's lifetime. California, on the other hand, has what I call an honorary pet statute. You can create provisions for your pet, but the court's not bound by those provisions. They can honor them if they're in the best interest of your estate or the best interest of your pet, but they're not bound by those provisions. So something's better than nothing.
Sure, absolutely. And also the other thing, too, which is kind of cool, even though you're, you know, careful to repeatedly advise people to get, you know, legal counsel, seek an attorney, because again, just as you said, there's, you know, from state to state it's different, but you also are kind enough to at least provide, you know, a sense of what some of this language should look like in the back of the book, and, you know, some basic language, some boilerplate kind of stuff, which is a cool, you know, at least jumping off point, not, you know, I mean, again, it should always probably be done and executed with an attorney, I would think, right?
Well, we recommend that just because we've seen so many attempts at people to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And inevitably the do-it-yourself plan is severely lacking in some area.
Mm-hmm.
And that area might just be the proper execution of the documents.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter if you have it in writing. If it's not properly executed, it isn't required to be bound by law.
Yeah.
And so if we're really trying to make more than sure, we want to make sure that we dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
And Peggy, have you found that, with colleagues, you know, as many as you might know in different, you know, states or just more broadly, are most that do, at least what you do, estate planning and related areas, game and cooperative and totally on board with incorporating provisions and directions for pets into estate plans and various documents like that? I mean, are there people, on the other hand, for example, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that don't necessarily, you know, see it the way we all see it, that are huge animal people, or is it just a matter of this is what I need in my plan, and they don't, you know, you're not going to run into, even if they don't necessarily feel the way you do about your animals, they'll put it in because that's part of your plan? Do you find...
I think you're going to have three categories, Duncan.
Yeah,
I think you're going to have people that are fully on board with the pet planning
mm-hmm.
issue, and I've done my best to educate a lot of those lawyer types.
Sure.
There's going to be people in the middle who will include it because you insist that they include it.
Okay.
And then there's going to be the third group that's going to think that planning for your pets is absolutely lunacy.
Like you're a kook.
Yeah. And I've heard all three, you know, variations on that theme. I would suggest to a person, if they are an animal lover and they want to make sure that they have good plans for their pets, that they do seek out an individual who is pet friendly
sure.
and who has some experience in that area and who has some compassion for what they're trying to accomplish.
And if someone is maybe just hearing this now and you know, again, hadn't maybe thought about even a basic will before now, how would they sort of find out, short of just flipping through the yellow pages or whatever, how would they kind of go about finding at least some attorneys to sort of choose from or figure out who could help them with this?
Well, there's a couple of good national estate planning organizations. One is called the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys.
Okay.
They have a website, and another is called Wealth Council, and they also have a website. But those are associations of estate planning attorneys who pride themselves on the highest form of customer service. And probably without hesitation, I would recommend almost anybody in those two organizations.
And would you happen off the top of your head know the website address for either or both?
I do, actually.
Oh, great. Would you,
The National Network for Estate Planning Attorneys is nnepa.com.
Okay.
And Wealth Council is wealthcouncil.com.
Wow, that couldn't be simpler.
Nope.
Cool. Great. And just we're sort of nearing the end of our time here, Peggy, but what along the same lines, if people are still, you know, maybe just now thinking, hey, maybe I should do something, what just ballpark, I mean, what kind of cost would they expect if they've never had a will before, especially, and they're just getting started, maybe they don't have, you know, too complicated a financial situation. I mean, I know it varies a lot, but just ballpark, what would they expect to pay an attorney to draw up that first, probably fairly simple will?
Well, that's probably the hardest question you've asked me, because
yeah.
it does vary a lot, and it
sure.
varies from state to state, and it varies from community to community, and it varies attorney by attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that a person could probably expect to pay, on the low side, maybe $500,
mm-hmm.
and on the high side, where you had trusts and other documents, probably $3,500.
I see. Okay.
So it really does run the gamut. I do suggest that people get good help. Again, the PetGuardian.com website is going to have some good estate planning tips as well
for
planning for your pet.
Sure.
People can always contact me through LegacyForYourPet.com, and I'm happy to answer questions or advise them or push them in the right direction to, you know, find an attorney in their state.
Wow, cool. Sounds like email free legal advice.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, that's a treat. Boy, this is why you gotta listen to Peggy and you gotta listen to Talking Animals. Next thing you know, you can get some free legal advice. That's cool.
That's right. I'll only require that they buy a book, right?
All right. Well, that seems like a fair trade-off. My goodness, at the very least. And it is, again, it's such a great book. And there's so many other things. I don't know if you want to just touch on some of the other things that are included in the book, just because, I mean, you know, there's some really nice things about, you know, how to memorialize your pet and dealing with the loss and grief. I mean, you know, things that aren't, you know, obviously fun or upbeat, but so important and, of course, directly tie into the topic that we are speaking about. And, yeah, I just found it really just, like, very comprehensive and just so helpful.
Well, that issue comes up, the memorializing your pet, because the reality is, in most cases, we are going to outlive our pet.
Sure.
They just have too short a lifespan.
Yeah.
And so there is a section in the book about ways that we can remember our pets that would be meaningful to us, from planting a tree, from doing a video, from pictures that we might have from our pet,
mm-hmm.
To one young gal who actually wrote a song about her dog.
Yeah, yeah, there were some really nice things, just very sweet, and you could just tell, again, like anything else, it's different from person to person, but that's what really helped her.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
Then we do talk about pet loss and grieving, because
yeah.
we can grieve for our pets in the same way
sure.
that we grieve for people that we love.
Yeah.
And grieving is a process, and so it has some distinct steps, and there are some support groups and other organizations out there that can be helpful
yeah.
During that time of grieving and loss.
Yeah, and again, there's just resources aplenty here and websites and other information that you provide. So we're just now, I think, at the end of our time. But again, the book is All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet. Peggy's website is legacyforyourpet.com. And as we just learned, if you play your cards right, you can email her and maybe even get some legal advice. So very cool. And Peggy, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. The book, again, is just really fantastic. And speaking with you has been really helpful and informative as well. So thanks for doing all this great stuff you're doing.
Thanks, Duncan. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care now.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Okay, let's again thank Peggy Hoy for joining us on Talking Animals. The book, one more time, is All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet. The website is legacyforyourpet.com. And such important stuff. So I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals on KU San Urban 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. Again, it's like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention. Except, in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune. There will be a prize. That's right, a prize, including we can still offer you a pair of tickets to Boskeggs Wednesday night at the Grove for free. I'm talking free tickets. But we've also got all the other prizes, except we probably no longer have the Triumph DVD because our winner earlier on the quiz looks like it's spoken for that, but we may get more. Who knows? So at any rate, you will have your choice of prizes, including the Boskeggs tickets for Wednesday night. If you're the first person to call in and identify this animal tune, it's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Name the Animal Tune. I'm Talking Animals here. KUCI.
Look here, girl. Take this advice and remember always in life. Into the eye, some tears must fall. Though you love and lose, you must stand tall. Love, we all got to cry sometimes.
Hi, you're on there live on KUCI. Can you name that animal, too?
Is it more fish in the sea?
Well, that's darn close. It's too many fish in the sea, but that's close enough for government work.
Oh, great.
Who's this?
My name is Marie.
Marie? Where are you calling from, Marie?
Anaheim.
Cool. Do you have any animals that live with you?
Yeah, I have a dog named Mike.
Cool. Well, do you want tickets to Boskeggs, do you think? Or do you want one of our other prizes that we mentioned earlier in the show?
Is there any chance of getting the book that the author you just interviewed?
Well, unfortunately not at the moment, but you can go to legacyforyourpet.com and order one. But yeah, we only have the one dog-eared copy, so to speak, that we were working from. But email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we'll figure out some prize for you. Sounds like you're not able to go to the Boss Gag Show, I'm guessing.
No, unfortunately not, but thank you very much.
All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for playing our game. Congratulations.
Bye.
All right. So, I'm Duncan Strauss. We have just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest, Peggy Hoyt. One more time, her book is All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pets. Website, of course, legacyforyourpet.com. I also want to thank you all for listening and for the phone calls we received. If nothing else, at least people won prizes today. That's cool. That's fun, right? Next Monday, July 18th, our guest will be Marsha Martin, author of Bandy, The True Tale of a Courageous Cape Cod Canada Goose. It's a wonderful and really distinctive story about the relationship that unfolds between Marsha and a Canada goose, and we'll speak with her, and it's really cool. So, by the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include, of course, just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which, of course, proceeds Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again, from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. Typically, I also host a music show called The Dead Air Zone here on KUCI Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I won't be hosting it tomorrow. I'll be out of town for a couple of days. But I hope you'll check in nonetheless. Anna, who's gone through training and got a great wealth of musical knowledge and a really cool new DJ here at the station, will be subbing, filling in there at The Dead Air Zone. So check that out tomorrow, Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then the following Tuesday, the 19th, we're going to have an in-studio guest on the Dead Air Zone, John Taylor, a singer-songwriter, guitarist from this, the newly local band Whisper Machine. So he's going to play live. We're going to interview him. So that's a week from tomorrow on the Dead Air Zone here in KUCI. But meanwhile, back to Talking Animals. I want to urge you to check out the website. And that's talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with any comments, suggestions, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, animal songs, animal comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. I really do. I'm dead serious. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're closing things out here with an animal-related tune. This is Lloyd Cole and the Commotions with a song called Rattlesnakes on KUCI. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine.
Jody went to Hattie Road, hasn't rained for 6 days. She said the girl he's forgotten me, said she'd stay on the cabin for the rattlesnake. She looks like she's my equal in on the waterfront. She reads the multiple world in her American circumstance. Bless the shore, the hardest comes to stay in San Jose. And the never born child still haunts her as she speeds down the freeway. As she tries her luck with the traffic police out in for the morning spy, she never finds no trouble. She's tried too hard. She's obvious despite herself. She looks like he's running home. It's on the waterfront. She said all she needs is therapy. Yeah, all you need is love, is all you need.
Looks like he's my hero, and on the